Hello and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and security podcast, where a pair of industry veterans talk about all matters PKI and digital certificates. I'm Tim Callen, senior fellow at Sectigo, and I'm joined by Jason Sirocco, CTO of IoT at Sectigo. How are you doing today, Jay?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
So today we are going to talk about CCPA, or California Consumer Protection Act. And this is also known as California Assembly Bill 375. It was enacted June 28, 2018, to go into effect on January 1, 2020. So it's coming up at the end of the year or the beginning of next year, which is why it's topical now. And this has been described by a lot of people as kind of mini GDPR.
Yeah, I've been hearing some things on the news about that, Tim. I have to admit, the day job has been keeping me from understanding the full details. I'd love to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, from what I can see, it is kind of mini GDPR. It's like GDPR. It's not quite as comprehensive. So it's an act meant to give consumers increased protections over their digital information. So the kinds of things that you would get that you'd give away online or you'd get using online services. And it spans a few things. Some of it is things like personal information and PII, but a lot of it is behavioral information. So a lot of this is about tracking your activity. You know, what do you do on a social media site, or what do you do other places online, and how you're profiled and how that information is used by a company in order to profit or in order to target you with messaging and advertising and things along those lines.
Oh, that's interesting, Tim. So is it just the monetary aspect, or is it the any type of tracking that comes under this legislation?
Well, it's the any type of tracking, but there's a lot of language about how it's used for things like monetizing and targeting. So I'll give you an example. You have a right to be forgotten, right? So you have a right to basically erase this information. You can tell the company to erase this information. You have the company, one of the things that's in here is the company actually has the right to incentivize you to let them track information. So whether I'm being tracked or not being tracked, one of the laws, one of the rules of the law is I can't be penalized with, let's say, a worse service or a less in service or being forced to pay extra if I don't allow my information to be used, tracked and used. So that's trying to give an equal playing field. But then the other thing is they say, but if companies want to proactively motivate you, if they want to actually pay you to allow them to track your information, then that's okay. They can set up that business relationship and the consumer can choose to allow themselves to be tracked. So think of it as, it is about consumer information, but when you read this, there's a very strong emphasis on the commercialization of our behavioral information.
Got it. So if I'm an insurance company, automotive insurance as an example, I convince you to put a OBD2 dongle in your car,
right,
and it's tracking your driving. It's lowering your insurance rate by 10%. That's the carrot. But everything about that driving experience could be measured, not just are you a safe driver, but how exactly do you as a human being make that left-hand turn on a specific speedway, which basically is like a fingerprint of you, which is kind of scary in the sense that everybody is kind of unique in the sense of a lot of things we might do behaviorally. And mm-hmm. So therefore, when you hear things like, oh, it's been anonymized. Well,
yeah,
I think that's interesting, Tim, the fact that the opt-in is there as an option. And I think in a country like the United States, that's not really surprising because, the ability to do business is very, very important. But on the other hand, I think the flip side to that is people need to understand that when people might claim to have anonymized data about you, so don't worry about it. You need to take that with a grain of salt for a lot of different use cases.
Yeah, and so I think this is supposed to start to address this. So like another thing that they had I was just thinking about is there is a do not sell, right? So if the company is using my information to provide a service to me, I can specify that my information can't be sold to third parties.
Right.
And so that, you know, that again comes to kind of this idea of giving the consumer more control over this relationship. You know, it goes back to the adage that we've now heard a lot. It was fresh 10 years ago, but we've now heard a lot, which is you are the product, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're using a social media service or something like that, basically if there's an online service that you're not paying money for, they're still making money. And the way they're making money is you are the product. And so this is acknowledging that, I think, and trying to put some boundaries and parameters on it, while at the same time, I think, recognizing, and this is where it's interesting that it's a California act, because so many of these companies, of course, are in California, recognizing that if these companies don't have a viable business model, then what's going to happen is these services are going to go away.
Yeah.
And so it looks like they're trying to walk a line.
Yeah, and it's not just obviously companies in California, especially social media companies, but also it has such a large population that it's to protect those particular citizens as well, which means it doesn't matter where you are in the world, more than likely.
Yeah.
It's such a large population that you need to worry about it. It's just like Europe.
Right.
How many large organizations in the world don't have some business in Europe? It's a small list.
Just like GDPR affected all. I mean, I go to websites. I'm sitting in the United States. I will go to American companies. I go to their websites and I get a GDPR cookie warning. Right? Why is that? It's because they can't know for sure, and so that these. Some of these laws can wind up having effects that are much bigger than just the footprint of their actual geographic footprint. And I think California is a perfect example of that. What's going to happen is everybody doing business with consumers in the U.S., it's going to be cheaper and easier to assume that these principles apply to everybody.
Right.
Than it will be to try to separate the Californians from the non-Californians.
That's exactly right. It reminds me of IoT legislation in California,
yes.
which passed. Basically, if you're an IoT device manufacturer, and you basically have to build it to California spec, because you're not going to build a California device and then the rest of the United States device.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, where it's not quite the same as GDPR is, GDPR has, there's a whole section of GDPR about saying you must provide protection for this data. It's about, you know, encryption at rest, encryption in motion, things along those lines. From my reading of it, the California Consumer Protection Act is much lighter in that kind of things. So it's really focused on, you know, the consumer's rights to their data and what they're doing with it. And there's some stuff in there, like you can't reveal their social security number. But in general, it's much more focused on kind of the consumer's rights around the data, and there's less emphasis on the specifics of what the companies need to do to ensure that these data are secure from breach.
Got it.
And that may be because that's already been covered in other legislation.
That's probably true, especially in the United States, because there are other laws around that, and especially at the state level, which is more difficult to pass in the states. At the federal level, we've seen the U.S. federal government struggle to pass that, and so we have, you know, a lot of different laws. In fact, I think 50 laws that we have to look at when it comes down to breach notifications and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and California led the way on stuff like that, right? The California breach notification law was the first law of its kind anywhere in the world. And so, you know, it's also not really surprising. The same way that you and I talked not too long ago about how Texas often takes a leadership position in energy regulation because it's got such a long history of energy leadership in the state. Yep. Same thing, I think, with California and tech regulations. You know, in general, I'm skeptical of governments getting involved in technology because they tend not to know what they're doing, and they're more likely to break it than improve it. We have seen that there's a tradition of California very much being on the leading edge. It was breach notifications. It was what you just talked about, the IoT legislation. And now, you know, this digital consumer protection legislation, very much a tradition of California being on the spearhead when it comes to legislating technology, and in particular, how technology interacts with the average citizen.
Thanks, Tim. I think maybe to bring it really close to the PKI podcast that we have here, I think what's interesting about some of these legislations that come out is they won't necessarily come out and prescribe a particular technology, such as, say, a PKI right. or something else. However, if you read between the lines, typically they're talking about things that really would benefit greatly from topics such as encryption, identity security, these kinds of things that obviously are near and dear to our heart. So unfortunately for people who have to worry about, you know, liability to this legislation, they're not perhaps always the experts in how to actually, you know, go forward to protect themselves. Where do they go off and get that advice, and how, what kind of tools and processes do they put into place in order to reduce the risk of liability to this legislation? I think that perhaps could be several podcasts, Tim, when we look at various kinds of important legislations that are out there that where PKI probably is an ideal solution.
Yeah, and you know, you're absolutely right. We have these conversations a lot. Like you might look at another regulation, maybe look at something like HIPAA high tech. It doesn't state explicitly how you go about making sure that people's PHI isn't stolen. But if you know anything about computer science, you know that there are certain things that have to happen or that PHI is going to be stolen. So you can kind of connect the dots or project a little and say, okay, if I want not to be in run afoul of HIPAA high tech, I need to ensure that I, for example, I'm encrypting data at rest, I'm encrypting data in motion, are using strong identity, things along those lines. Even though you wouldn't see a phrase like strong identity or encryption of data at rest in the actual regulations.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. But it's not a hard leap to understand that something like GDPR, which probably doesn't mention the term S/MIME anywhere,
right?
If you're under that legislation, and there's risk to you, which probably includes just about anybody doing business with Europeans. Geez, your investment in S/MIME certificate management all of a sudden becomes a very, very cheap form of insurance compared to the teeth that GDPR might have against you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's a very concrete example of exactly what we're talking about.
All right.
So yeah, California Consumer, I think I said protection. It's actually the California Consumer Privacy Act. I think I misspoke at the beginning, at the top of the podcast on that. But the CCPA is what it's called. And as I mentioned, it's State Bill AB 375. Will be going into effect on January 1st. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about it. So we just wanted to give you all the lowdown.
Thanks, Tim. That's interesting because the IoT legislation that was passed also goes into place on January 1st. So,
wow.
Yeah, you're going to wake up to a whole new era.
There you go.
On New Year's Day.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay. Thank you, listeners. And of course, as always, this is Root Causes.